Hi everyone, welcome to Bye Bye Bye. My name's Imogen.
I'm Brandon.
And I'm Claire.
I've got a bit of a parenting dilemma. It's possible that my daughter is following in my footsteps with regards to certain interests.
Uh-oh.
She's just gotten into K-pop.
That could have gone anywhere. I was like, has she become a furry? Is she showing signs of being bi?
We're less than a minute in and Claire already made a furry joke. Like,
I was setting you up for the furry joke, but you went too early.
Yeah, everyone, I've had a bit to drink, so I'm on my game.
I was like, has Miranda turned to drugs? Is that what's going on?
I know, I was like, I was going to guess so many things. Like, has she started drinking some wine midday?
She's 10 years old. The particular K-pop song that she's into is the one for the Big League of Legends.
Travis is bonkers for that.
And there's the singers in the band are all various furry creatures, so we're just watching it and going, oh no. My husband was like, if she becomes a furry, we'll know why. And I said, if she becomes a furry, we will love and support her. Okay?
You know, Travis brought up a good point. What do you call it though if you yourself are not a furry, like you don't have a fursona, but you're into furries?
I think you're still a furry.
Yeah, are you still just a furry?
I don't know. Yeah, because like, I mean, there are different levels of furriness. Like, you can be just appreciate the aesthetics, without actually wanting to don a fursuit yourself, or you know, go the whole nine yards.
I love it.
I don't have enough time to be a fully fledged furry.
I don't take a lot of time and money. You gotta get the whole.
I don't know. Someone who's like been in the furry community longer than Imogen should like write us and.
look, as I said before, I have nothing but you know respect for the furry community, and you know. They're making fun of Brandon and Claire are making fun of me, not you.
Yeah. Well, and the context is important because like you never wrote smut. Like you would always like fade to black or write around it or something like that. And then all of a sudden you come out of left field with like this cat guy having sex.
And you wrote so much of it. It just kept coming.
It was my awakening, so. Yeah. Oh. Always be grateful.
After your cat nap.
Catnap.
Didn't get much napping done. Anyway.
Catnap.
You had catnap and then you had your awakening.
Oh, today's topic is just calm down, ladies. I thought it was a good time to throw that in.
I think my open actually works really well with that. Pull it back a little. Have a nap.
Have a nap. Calm down, have a nap, have a drink, apparently.
I'm already ahead of the game.
Yes. Oh. So everyone here saw Captain Marvel, yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to say it right now. We're not going to spoil anything. And if we do accidentally, Imogen will cover it up in post, like for real.
I will cover it up.
I'll put some noise in.
I'll do some bleeps. Some bleeps. Or some meows.
Yeah.
Meows. Oh, yes. Yes, 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 yes.
But anyway, I came out of that movie wanting to punch things and shout and scream and have, you know, it was so good. It was so good.
I forgot how much I love angry female protagonists. Like, not even angry. Like, just ones who are just run in and punch things, you know.
Yep.
And yeah, I forgot how much I like that, especially women protagonists.
It's funny, I mean, we're talking about if we could have a little chat about Captain Marvel and the stupid nerd rage reactions to it. And people were comparing, like someone actually brought up Aliens and Sigourney Weaver's protagonist, and like there were lots of comparisons with aliens and Terminator, basically, is what it comes down to.
Well, yeah.
And I was thinking, and I mean, it's like, we've had the real dearth. Like, there's been no female protagonists like Carol for many, many years.
Yeah.
Like,
it's been a while.
But we did have them when we were kids. We had Ripley and we had what's her name? Sarah Connor. And it's just interesting to think that there has actually been a desert for those protagonists.
Yeah.
And you've got to wonder whether it's because of who was making the films, because it's a different generation now who are getting angry about it, and they just don't. It's the generation just after ours that didn't have Ripley and Sarah Connor and all those guys, those women.
Yeah, there was a gap. It's very weird because those were like cornerstones, and it's like I wonder if this is related. It's like you said, like Captain Marvel was kind of like a love letter to Gen X.
Yes,
you know, and
so much.
I wonder if that's related, or I don't know. Like James Cameron's wife was in the Terminator movies, so whatever. I mean,
yeah, I don't know. It is really weird because it feels like there's been a huge backlash against female protagonists.
Yeah, and I saw someone on Twitter this morning like talking about how they don't understand this myth of the female protagonist or the female-led action movie because we've had so many of them, you know, and not even so many bad ones. We've had so many really successful franchises. And
yeah, they made four. I think there was also a period. Movies.
I think there was a period where people were overthinking it. Like there was the whole, we have to make a strong female character, and then we have to decide what that means, and then like it just became this whole convoluted, stupid thing instead of just make a woman.
Now, if they want to say
character,
yeah, exactly, and give her something to do. Now, if they want to say that,
and an alien to kill.
If they want to say that it's like breaking the myth of the female led superhero movie, like specifically, that's a different story altogether, you know, because we haven't had a lot of those that I know of.
I mean, partly just because they haven't fucking made them.
Exactly.
It's like, well, they're not successful. It's like, yeah, well, where were they?
Well, there was Elektra.
Yeah.
I bet y'all can't remember that.
I don't think I ever.
I mean, that's the thing. Yeah, it's terrible. Don't bother. I mean, it's not terrible actually, but it's not. They just.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the thing. It's like the old Daredevil movie was also bad, and it's like that's the thing. It's like, well, yes, if you only have one movie to go back to, it's like, of course, it's like, yeah, there's gonna be bad male superheroes. There's gonna be bad female superhero movies. Doesn't
they don't
mean just stop making.
They don't like
bad superhero movies as well, but
they don't hinge like every Batman movie ever made on Batman versus Superman. You know,
and it's like plus it's like you know, it's like there's so many of them, so there can be good and bad, and it doesn't matter. Where it's like they're like, well, we can't because they're not successful. It's like, well, that you haven't made any fucking. So you can't say they're not successful when there's like one or two to.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, we had, that's weird because we also had the Lara Croft movies, two of them.
Yeah.
The second one was terrible. And the first one was, I loved the first one. And, you know, I've got a thing for Angelina Jolie, so it didn't hurt that she was running around in very short shorts.
Yeah, I felt like they still did all right. Like, I don't think they were like critically
amazing, they made enough money.
But they did.
No.
There
was no problem with that.
What was the recent one with Alicia Vikander? Like, my husband really liked that one. Like, he unironically liked it.
I don't know what that one was. There was that bloody Sparrow one with
Oh no, that was garbage.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah, that was garbage.
I didn't watch it. It was garbage. I mean, female led action movies. I mean, you could argue that. I mean, Speed 2. the protagonist of Speed 2 is not the guy. I don't even know what the random guy who replaced Keanu Reeves was, but it was Sandra Bullock. It wasn't. Random dude. Oh, anyway, so yeah, it's just weird. It's weird, and but the fact that they're so angry about Carol, well, Carol would laugh, so that's cool.
Yeah, I mean, there's also just the fact that they clearly never even gave it a chance because they're like, she shows no emotion. It's like, did you watch the movie?
Yeah,
she shows so much emotion in it. It's so amazing.
She smiles. She cracks jokes.
Yeah,
you know.
Well,
like,
plus it was like horribly ironic because the whole thing was you show too much emotion.
Yes. The whole premise of it. You've got to control your emotions. She's not showing enough emotions. She's just smart. Well, what the fuck?
Yeah, and that's anyway. That's what I thought we could bring the topic around today is kind of like the demonization of Carol's emotions without without spoiling the movie, because I think that's a pretty consistent
theme.
I think that's a pretty consistent thing about Carol Danvers as a character, even in comics.
Yeah, and just like women.
And women in general.
So it's not a spoiler or surprise for most anyone listening.
But the movie itself was like a very damned if you do, damned if you don't kind of thing, because like everybody was saying how Brie Larson was showing no emotion in her acting in the movie, which is not true if you go see the movie. And not at all. But like the premise of the movie was, you know, in part about her holding her emotions back, like learning how to keep control.
I mean,
of them.
I thought it did it perfectly where it was always people telling her how she should feel. Either she was feeling too much or she wasn't enough, because, you know, she gets told to smile. So it's like, no matter what she did, if it wasn't what they wanted her to do, it wasn't good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean.
And it's not, and it's not like we've never had like angry female protagonists in movies. We get them. We don't get a lot of women of color who get to be angry in movies, but we have movies where the female lead is an angry person. Now, whether or not they get to lash out violently through it, I couldn't say. I didn't see the Alien movies. I'm sorry, they're not my thing. You know,
I did, but it's been a long time.
With Alien, I mean, obviously Alien 3 sucks, but Alien.
Oh yeah, it was real bad.
It was real bad. The first one is interesting because she's Sigourney's character Ripley is ignored. It's actually a really good parallel for Carol in Captain Marvel, but because she's in a position of authority and they ignore her authority and everyone dies.
Yeah,
it's a horror movie. And in the second one, again, she's in a position where she's not in control, but she takes control by the end. And there's some interesting things about it, because it's a struggle. There's a couple of other female protagonists in it. My God, there's three women in the second movie, which is amazing. All three of them, well, two of them die, but you know, but the catalyst for Ripley at the end taking control is her maternal instinct. So it's pandering to some cliches and stuff like that. But she's much more competent in the second movie than she's in the first. And if you go down to Terminator, where in the first movie Sarah Connor is a helpless maiden who has to be rescued by a dude, to the second movie where she is a kick-ass marine who does pull-ups on the edge of her hospital bed and stabs a dude with a toothpick. Like, she's fucking awesome in that second movie. And but again, the catalyst for all of this is her maternal instinct.
Yeah.
And so it's like there's this idea of, you know, having to be a mother before you can become badass.
Yeah.
Badass.
And I think that was something that really stood out about Carol in Captain Marvel to me, was that her motivation was her own.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. There was no one she was trying to protect. It was about her, and it was about her growth as a person.
Yeah, it was about accepting herself and who she is and how she feels after being told she should feel certain ways all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And it was so satisfying. In a way, and we're talking about this, comparing it to Wonder Woman, not unfavorably, because I loved Wonder Woman as well. But the story arc is completely different, because Diana has nothing...
They're very different characters. Like, they're both very good characters, but they have different motivations. And Diana was coming more from a place of like love and all that. Where,
yeah, Diana's like very compassionate at her core, and I feel like her story arc in the movie, like, she didn't really have anything to prove.
Yeah,
you know,
no.
Yeah, she knew. Like, she came from a place. I mean, tellingly, with all women, and where she was supported and felt strong and sure of herself. Yes.
Weird.
And the fact that she comes out of it. Yeah, it's about. I think Wonder Woman is about the world's reaction to Wonder Woman, as opposed to Wonder Woman's reaction to the world. Whereas Carol is, it's a much more personal story.
Yeah, that's more about finding herself and who she is and.
which yeah. is which is and a story that you don't get in women leads very often. Like, usually the woman in a story is motivated by some external force.
Oh yeah, like, usually their motivation, especially with women, it's usually some sort of pain, something that was inflicted upon them.
Yeah.
In a negative way. I mean, she had things inflicted upon her technically, but not in a negative way.
Yeah.
She never feels powerless in Captain Marvel, which is, I mean, it's interesting because she's put into situations where her power is restricted, but she herself is never, you never feel powerless for her. And, I could go on about this for years, but you can contrast that with Jessica Jones. You guys didn't watch Jessica Jones.
I did.
Pretty intense.
I did.
You did?
Yep.
And I was talking to my husband about it when we were watching it and about why I loved it so much, despite the fact that it was so dark and the things that had happened to Jessica were so terrible. And I was saying the reason why I feel good watching it is that I know she is super powered, you know, and it was this thing, like feeling like she can walk into and deal with this situation because she has the strength, obviously, from her superpowers to face it. And it made me able to cope with what had been done to Jessica, if that makes sense.
Well, plus, like,
even though what had been done to her was so terrible.
Yeah, I mean, my enjoyment of her is more of a different, like, I enjoy her because she gets to be what so many female characters don't get to be, which is, like, gross and awful and an asshole. Yeah. And, like, and that's just kind of great. Like, she doesn't have to come through everything, like, shiny and perfect and clean. She gets to just be kind of horrible.
She gets to be fucked up, which is what... Yeah, and she gets to be fucked up and still appealing. Like, she's so... Kristen Ritter just did such a fantastic fucking job with her. I was so happy. It was just a really, really satisfying experience for me, that series. But then to see it in the big screen and to have it be more joyful, obviously.
Yeah.
Carol's story is just so much happier and more joyful, and you don't have to be dragged through all the...
Her story is, like, my exact jam, where it's, like, I like women who get to be powerful and fucking love it. Like, they just kind of relish in it and just, you know, they get to enjoy it, like, because she finds her power and it's just such a, like, a joyful experience, like, I'm amazing, fuck you all. And I love that, like, that's my favorite.
It's very interesting to me too, because it's still a story about Carol being violated in a way, and by a man also, and but, like, the story is more, it's about her coming back from it. It's not about how it destroyed her. It's how she, whatever. You know what I mean? Came back from it.
I know. It's, I know. Yeah. It's she doesn't. It hurt her, but it didn't.
It didn't shape her.
It didn't squash her. It didn't squash her. And it didn't shape her.
Yeah, it really didn't shape her.
They tried to so much.
Yeah, they tried to shape, but, like, really, what shaped her was her and who she was and finding who she was again.
The attempts to shape her always backfire, too. Like, you could see it was just like that he wasn't.
Yeah.
No spoilers. They weren't able to make her into what they wanted. She was always going to be what she wanted to be, which is just, oh, God, it was great. It was so good. I'm still on high.
Go see it.
So good.
Go see it
if
you can.
Go see it twice.
Yeah.
Take your kids. If you've got kids, take your kids. It's totally not at least suitable for kids.
Yes.
Both mine have seen it, and they loved it, so.
I think what really stuck out to me, to pull it back to the theme, is that Carol's emotions were demonized through the whole film. And then when she finally embraced her emotions and harnessed that anger that she had, that anger and that passion that she had buried in her, is when she really just came into herself. You know, so instead of being punished for showing her feelings, as women so often are, she was shown as more powerful because of them. And it makes me think of all the times that I've been told in my life that I'm too emotional for something, you know, where I tried to reach for something or, you know, do something with myself to be told that I can't do it because I cry, you know.
Yeah, I get told from both ends of the spectrum. Like, I mean, I remember when I was working at the library, I was told I get too defensive with people when they're, like, attacking me about something. And it's like, sorry. And then I've been told, a zillion times since I was fairly small. Like, I don't even remember, like, early grade school being told to smile all the time. Claire, why are you so unhappy? Smile. Smile.
Yeah.
And it just made me so self-conscious about my face all the time, because it's like, I'm sorry, this is just my resting face.
Yeah. I am a crier. Like, I cry about every emotion. You know, when I'm angry, when I'm happy, like, tears are just always coming out of my face. And that was always used against me. Like, I was held back from promotions. I tried out for positions of leadership, and it was always used against me. They're like, you need to learn how to not do this. And even in the military, you know, I would something would be happening and I would start to cry, and like my superior, and it was almost always a woman who yelled at me in the military for this. She's like, don't you dare cry. Don't you start that bullshit of crying with me. And it kind of like destroyed me in a little bit. You know, and especially tears, like tears from a woman are seen as like combative.
Yeah, you're being like weak and yes. manipulative. And
yeah.
Yes.
When we were in Korea, Baby Bai actually had a teacher who accused her of being manipulative because the teacher said something kind of that pissed me off to her, and it made her cry. And the teacher was like, oh, no, you're not going to manipulate me with your tears. And I've heard that so yeah. many times, like how it's unfair of women to cry because we're just trying to get our way by crying. And man, that's crap.
That is crap. I mean, it's like, if you could not, if I could make the decision not to cry, right. then I bloody would. Like, I mean, like, it's not something that you I've heard people say that they can cry on demand. I have never met anyone who can do that. Like, if you cry because you're feeling something. So I don't know anyone who can do it on demand. If you're someone who can cry on demand, please let me know, because I would like disprove that it is a myth.
I know actors who can do it, but. Again, well, they're getting into...
I have done that, but it's hard.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying, I think it's a learned skill, but I don't think it's something that most people do.
Yeah, like, and I think people who are... Yeah, it's just... I used to always get accused of being too enthusiastic for things. So, especially, like, my mum would go, Imogen, shh, calm down, talk quietly about it. And I'm like, but it's so exciting, and I'd be telling her about, I don't know, some book I've read or a film I'd gone to see or something that I was excited about, and she'd always say, shh, calm down. I'm like, I can see, I know as a parent that every extreme emotion in a kid is like, it's like standing on the edge of a cliff, because you're wondering if it's going to go one way or another, and if it's going to turn into a full-on meltdown. So I can understand as a parent the urge to go, shh, calm down, take a deep breath. But sometimes I'm like, I got to step back and go, well, why are they upset or why are they excited, and can we ramp it up and go with that? But yeah, there's just a massive instinct just to push people down and make them contain it and be more acceptable, be less embarrassing, I suppose. I mean, that's the other thing with non-neurotypical people as well. Like, having a meltdown is something some people can't
help
do.
And the more you try, the worse it gets. Like, yeah. Like, as soon as someone points out that I'm crying, I'm like, I'm not crying, I'm fine.
See, yeah, mine, it's just so much, I think, overall, it was just a matter of people saying what my feelings were when they weren't.
Like, oh, I hate that.
Like, it was always, why are you so sad? You need to smile. And I wouldn't be sad, so then I'd be like, what? And then I get my mom, she was good about enthusiasm and all that, but she was always like, Claire, stop being sarcastic. And I wasn't being sarcastic, which ironically turned me very sarcastic. And then, yeah, I've mentioned it before on the podcast, but yeah, just people have been, you know, Claire, quiet down, you're being too loud, you're getting too excited. And so, yeah, like, on all fronts, everything I feel, it's always too much. It's either you're too sad, even when I wasn't sad. And
hey, Claire, there's something wrong with your sound. You're too loud.
It's okay. We can fix that in post.
Be as loud as you want.
That's the beauty of it. Be as loud as you want. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, so I think it's given me a really weird relationship with every part of my emotions, like both from how I talk to how I emote and everything.
Yep, I get that.
Yeah, my it's funny because I think I've got opposite parents to my family. Like, my mum is very reserved and stoic and shows very little emotion, and my dad's really, really bubbly and enthusiastic. So it's weird because I think my husband's parents are, his dad's very serious and very restrained and his mum's very bubbly, and I think that it's funny to see the contrast to how they react to him and his emotions and how they react to Justine and, oh, sorry, not Justine, I'll have to cut that because I'm going to put her name in the podcast, how they react to my sister-in-law and her emotions and stuff like that. It's just weird. Everything's weird and we need to not be so dammed up all the time.
We did actually, we got a story from an anecdote from, where'd it go? Ashes from Frost on Tumblr.
Nice.
They said, someone I used to be friends with and idolized far too much would constantly tell me to suppress all my emotions for her sake because they were too much to handle. Luckily, I got out of that one messily. On a nicer note, I've learned how to not get overwhelmed by my own feelings by putting them to one side instead of flat-out suppression, saying not now, later, and simply dealing with whatever is logical while feeling... feeling in the background works a lot better than saying stop. Feeling in the back. Okay, I get it now.
Yeah. No, that's cool. That makes sense.
Yeah. Wow. That's like a really familiar situation though. Yeah. Like, I relate to that so much.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to say, I think I may have been that friend at points along the road. So I'm sorry to people because sometimes. Yeah, I've definitely said, can we not, to people when they've been overwhelming, and can't really make any excuses for myself on that one, except that I hope I wouldn't do it now. But there is a point where if someone's constantly emotional all the time around you, you can step back. But I don't think that
it's good to set boundaries for your own sake, but shutting other people down all the time is also not good.
Yeah, and that's
very controlling.
You do have to set that boundary for yourself. You know, you can't always be holding your own feelings back for other people. It'll make you sick. Like, it'll physically make you sick.
Yes.
I've done it too many times, and good for you, Ashes from Frost, for getting out of that situation. You know, for
yes, definitely, congratulations. And also from learning from it, like going, okay, well, this is a skill that I'd been forced into having. It's actually quite a handy skill. Looking on the bright side, there's a silver lining in the sky. La la la.
Dude, I went to a lot of therapy to learn how to set my emotions aside and say, not now, we'll deal with this later, and then deal with what's in front of me. And I mean, it looks like, I don't know if you went to therapy or not, Ashes, but I mean, if you didn't, kudos to you, because I didn't get to that one on my own.
I think there is a danger with doing that too, again, like suppressing your emotions, if you go, okay, I'm going to deal with this later, and then you never deal with it.
Yeah, that's definitely a line you have to walk.
that's the trick. My therapist told me that, like, you absolutely have to come back to it because your brain remembers and it won't work next time.
I know that I deal better with things when I do get that chance to put something aside for the moment, because in the heat of the moment, I know I get too riled up, but
what?
Then I often don't come back to it. Just it's fine. For years and years, I just had periods where I would just break down crying randomly and pinned it on Catholic guilt, which probably partly was also.
It's probably a fair bit of Catholic guilt doing that. It's funny that... it's a John Mulaney, wasn't it? I'll just put that aside and then I'll die. Yeah.
Keep all my emotions right here. Right here.
And then I'll die.
And then I'll die.
Don't do that. Don't do what John Mulaney did. I think what John Mulaney did actually is not. He kept all his emotions right there, and then he did stand up.
Yeah, and then he let it out. He found a good way to let it out. Hilarity.
Yeah, it's a good way to let it out, especially if it makes everyone else laugh. Yeah. I think it's a great idea.
See, when I try to do that, it's like shaking up a pop bottle. Like, it's not going to stay in there long.
It's fine. Play it out through RP.
Oh, I try.
It's like,
what? No, I don't do that. I don't do that. That's not the thing I do. I don't self-insert.
Oh. No, you don't. So you don't over-identify either. That's just something you don't do either.
Ow!
Ouch.
Wow, we're finally getting caught up to roasting Brandon.
Yes, I forgot that was on the schedule. I need to do
that. Well, we tried last week, but
we were too kindly disposed towards you last week. Maybe yeah. We need to do more nasty things to us.
I'll have to put my drinking closer to the podcast time.
Yeah. We'll do that sometime. Claire and I'll just do shots.
Yeah. Okay, no, I'm gonna just say no, guys, you need to put that aside and not do it with me. If we're gonna do that. We do it, we'll have to record at least 2 hours later. So I can join you.
Oh, that'll be real good doing late night drinking.
We'll do it on a weekend.
Yes.
It'll be fun. It'll be fun. You like fun, don't you? Yeah.
Me?
Oh, yeah. Do you like fun? Do you? You don't like fun.
Me?
Yeah.
Me? No, I don't like fun.
I didn't think
so. Fun's terrible.
I didn't think so. And okay, in fairness though, like coming back to the topic. Man, I'm on this today. It, you know, hiding and suppressing your emotions isn't just a woman thing either. I mean, obviously,
oh, God,
but I think the key to keep in mind there is the types of emotions that men and women are told to hold back.
Oh yeah, on both sides, it's just
yeah.
You like, can't feel certain things.
We're not allowed to be angry.
Yeah, we're not allowed to be angry. So. Men aren't allowed to be sad.
Yeah, they're not allowed to be sad or to grieve or to be afraid of anything.
We're not allowed to be horny. That's an emotion, right?
We're not allowed to be cold or distant.
Yeah.
You know, and
we have to be always warm and always welcoming, and we're not allowed to be shitty. We're not allowed to be cranky and fed up, and we're not allowed to be all of the things that Jessica Jones is in Jessica Jones. And that is why she's so fucking great, because she's like, okay, she's rude, she's shitty, she's cold, she's I just love her. God, I love her. Fantastic.
And yeah. Even inside that, like, Jessica's white, so she gets away with that.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't make Jessica Jones black and let her get away with the same behavior. Like nobody would accept it.
Nope.
You know, or make her Latina and she'd be the spicy Latina.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then, like, yeah, it would never work. Well, I mean, it could work if people
weren't
assholes. It
could work in the future.
There we go.
There's more diversity in general.
In this mystical future, where all things are equal, and it's the same for men too. Like, black men aren't allowed to get angry.
Nope.
No, God, that was a big thing about Luke Cage, wasn't it? It was like he was almost the mystical black man. He was so calm and controlled and measured, and when he did get angry, very, very dodgy stuff, really.
Oh, I'm mad that they canceled that, because it was such a well done show.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
it might
still come back,
show.
I assume, on the Disney streaming, but
maybe. Yeah.
Whatever.
I don't know if Disney would never do the stuff they did in the movies. No, they're not gonna do that.
Never know.
But
I mean,
maybe.
If they want the money, I mean, both Jessica Jones and Luke Cage, especially Jessica Jones, was doing really well.
Yeah. I'm just really sad that we're going to be deprived of Charlie Cox's butt in the MCU. Like, that the real star of the Avengers, is Charlie Cox's rear end. That was the best bit in that, actually. So just sort of about the second season, was it when Elektra turns up and like,
yeah,
it's like you may wear a mask, but I can recognize your butt. It was very good, a very good line, that one. And also we needed a dragon. What was it? Sisters of the Dragon? Is that what they're called? Misty Knight and there's a team up between Colleen Wing and Misty Knight. That's a comic.
Yeah, they seem to be building
Daughters
to
of the
that
Dragon.
In Luke Cage, and then it
yeah
happened.
Yeah. Because that would be the best if we could have that, because they are so.
Oh, I love
Misty Knight. I loved Misty so
much. I love Misty so much. I loved her in comics. She was. Was she in that one run of what was that all woman comic? All I can remember is Valkyrie making out with the scientist. Defenders?
Defenders, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the all woman team of defenders. Was she part of that team, right?
They were called
Yeah.
Misty, yes, she was. Misty was the one who kept on telling Valkyrie. But Misty was like the sensible one in the team, from what I remember.
Yes.
Like they were all a bit nuts. And, yeah. Yeah. So Misty was the one pulling them back to Earth. So. Oh, sorry. Just got distracted by something. I need to not be distracted anymore. Cool.
Get out of the Anders tag.
No, that's my job.
I don't go in the Anders tag. Well, I'm compartmentalizing my emotions, obviously. So
I'm not a masochist.
Yeah, I'm the only one with that big of a problem.
I'm not a masochist. Yeah,
I'm gonna say unless Claire's been active in the Anders tag, there's not much point in going into it because it's all bullshit anyway. So.
I just wait for her to bring it to me. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say you guys can just look to me for all the good content.
Yeah, I do get a very large amount of Anders content on my dash, and it's nearly all from you,
Claire. I was so offended. You have to dig really deep in Tumblr suggestions for top Anders blogs. It's like, look, I know my blog is really disorganized, but you can always count on one thing.
Man.
Yeah, there's lots and lots of Anders. There's less Dorian these days, which is upsetting, because I do love it.
There's usually about a Dorian a day.
I think
I'm going through one of those stages on Tumblr at the moment where I'm in a new fandom, so my followers are just going, nah,
this isn't what we signed up for. You know, I think like, right. If Anders had been allowed to vent his feelings.
Okay, hang on, no. He did not hold back.
Yeah, I was going to say, was he holding himself back at some point that I'm forgetting?
If there's one character in all of Dragon Age who does not repress their feelings, it's Anders fucking Jenga.
Well, I mean, in Awakening, he was repressed a little.
It was leaking out the sides.
Yeah, it was still leaking all the time.
Oh. I had to.
I know you had to. It's just like, God. Yeah, and that's stoic characters are not really Dragon Age's thing, because Alistair doesn't hold back. I think the most stoic character out of all of them is probably Zevran. You actually have to ask him and poke at him to get his tragic backstory out of him. Everyone else is like, hey, you know what happened to me? You know what happened to me? I could give you all the gory like if you had two conversations with them and suddenly they're telling you all about how their mentor tortured and raped them in some dark thing. Like, I could just see the warden in a walk just going, I didn't ask. I honestly did not ask.
I think Liliana holds back quite a bit for a while.
Yeah, she does. Once you've done her full friendship path, you find out what happened with Marjolaine. Liliana is a sensible lass, but
yeah, somehow the bisexuals are making judgments. Holding back.
Yes, that's right. The bisexuals are not disaster bisexuals. This is nice.
I mean, they're still kind of disasters, but not emotionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Zevran kind of is a bit of a disaster emotionally. It's the reason why I love his romance so much. It's just so funny.
Well, I just mean they're not 9,000%. Like, they're not pooping out their emotions just all over you.
Yeah.
I had a smooth transition to this and then it kind of just flopped out. But anyway, logic versus emotion. I hate whenever I get into a discussion, especially, and it's almost always a white dude on the internet, that, you know, they'll be like, well, see, I come at this argument with logic and I take my emotion out of it, you know, like pretty much telling me that I'm just getting emotional over, I don't know, Native American rights. Why would I get emotional about that? You know, and I don't think that logic is actually free from emotion.
Oh yeah. I mean, they just get to say that because it's things that they don't personally care about.
Yeah. But yeah. Also I think their perspective still comes from an emotional place, but I think we've been like kind of trained to see the emotions at the roots of their so-called logical discussion as more acceptable emotions.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah, and they're also...
I was going to say, Travis is someone who just likes to argue points. Like, he finds it interesting to debate about anything and everything. Like, and I had to tell him to stop. Yeah. Because it would just be things like he had no investment in. He would just be like curious and be like, you know, like Indiana with fucking Mike Pence back when he was only our problem. had all his stupid laws and, you know, about like,
thanks, Indiana. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks.
We wanted to get rid of him. We didn't want him to go to the national stage. But Travis is like, well, like, can you look at it from their perspective and like being forced to do something that goes against your beliefs? And I'd be like, no. And so, like, you know, he would just be interested in like exploring things from other perspectives because they didn't involve him. He wasn't invested in any way. And yeah. So to him, it was just a mostly unemotional thought exercise. But I would get really worked up because it was usually things that mattered to me. And so I had to eventually be like, I cannot. Please do not do this to me. I can't just argue for argument's sake.
You shouldn't have to leave your emotions aside on something like that to be taken seriously. Because
it's not that he wouldn't take me seriously. Like he's a human being.
Not him.
But like, yeah, I mean, it shouldn't be a matter where you should have to leave your emotions aside. But it's also something where it's like, some people like to do this as just a fun thing, and they don't understand why other people do not find it a fun thing.
I just got a phone alert. I just got a phone alert from NPR saying that, come back. There it goes. Cardinal George Pell, a former Vatican official, sentenced to 6 years in prison.
Yep.
And I just am thinking about how you sat on this news for like 2 months now.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, we had a gag order. The journalists couldn't talk about it. So that was good, actually. A lot of journalists have been arrested.
They're
going to be arrested because they didn't obey the gag order. It's at the time, I know, we all knew that he was up for this. I mean, sorry, the trigger warning, this, just if you're listening to this and you're a survivor, just don't go near it. The stories do actually go into a bit of detail about what he did.
Oh my goodness, I didn't know.
I made a mistake of clicking an article and going, oh, okay, no, I didn't need to see that. And anyway, just be aware. But yeah, it's very important for our court system that we don't talk about cases that are in progress. But the second trial is not going ahead. He had another victim who was going to charge, but the victim is apparently satisfied with the process, so he's not going to proceed. Up to them.
Are we journalists? What? Are we journalists?
Technically, no.
No.
No. But it wasn't just a gag for journalists. It was, you weren't supposed to talk about it in any media that could be consumed by people who might have been attached to the trial.
Yeah. I'm just having good riddance. Having fun poking at the obvious laughs today.
Yeah.
And we're out of questions, so like we've got to kill time now.
We could do well. Speaking of cardinals, we could ask Claire if she could plumb her mind for a sin of the week.
Yeah, sin of the week. Let's put Claire on the spot.
Not coming off a drink.
Drinking is a sin, isn't it? We've talked.
No, it is. I talked about. That was one of the first ones I talked about. It is a sin. Drinking is not, getting drunk is, so whoops.
Oh well, sorry God.
Here, I'm gonna go into,
we've already established that Claire's
I'm gonna go
a sinner.
Google Catholic sins
here. Okay, put it in safe mode first. Put it in safe mode first.
No, you know what? We need other people.
That's such a boring Google, because then people are just like, oh, the Catholics are weird. I'm like, that's not what I want. I want Catholics themselves to be like, here's our stupid things we do. Like,
we fucking know we're weird.
I know. You know, that's all I want.
Precious listener, singular, I need to hear sins of the week from other religions.
Oh yeah.
Oh yes.
Give us all your weird, give us all those things that fucked you up. Here, if we want to go, go back to my Catholic guilt from earlier.
give us the ones you just can't be fucked to care about.
Yeah. That was all because I didn't go to Mass, which is like supposed to be one of the very tip top sins. Because then you're sinning against God and not other people, which I always thought was bullshit. Because I was like, God would be cool.
Oh my God!
God understands.
Did I tell you guys that Baby Bi like chastised me for not taking her to Ash Wednesday Mass? She wanted to go to Ash Wednesday Mass. Like, pick the most boring one. And it's
there are less boring ones.
The one eternal unforgivable sin is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. Why only specifically the Holy Spirit and not the other?
Because he's the one who can come through your wall and haunt you at night.
That doesn't make any sense. It's okay to blaspheme against the Father and the Son, but not the Holy Spirit.
Like, is it you didn't leave room for him while you were dancing?
Wait. Okay, now I have to know. This just popped into my head because my grandfather has called it the Holy Ghost his whole life. Like, my whole life. Yeah. He says Father, Son, Holy Ghost.
I've heard Holy Ghost as well, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's just regionally what you say.
Okay. I'm just wondering what...
No, what I think it's still acceptable. There.
Okay.
Hey, there it is. Right there. Sin against the Holy Ghost, right there in
so what Wikipedia. What is a sin against the Holy Ghost? What pisses off the Holy Spirit?
Despair. Despair is a sin against the Holy Spirit.
Despair is one of the big ones.
Presumption, if a man wants to obtain glory without merit. resistance to
there are a hell of a lot of sinners out there. Hell of a lot of sinners
like
out there.
Everyone on Fox News.
Yeah. resistance
the entire White House.
envy of another person's spiritual good, being unrepentant. Also
shit.
Obstinacy.
Obstinacy. Sorry. Okay, I'm sure this is the Holy Spirit is personally dragging Brandon at the moment.
But I'm sure this is just another section on what they are for Protestants, but right under that it's like Protestantism, and I'm like, yeah, that's probably counts as a sin in Catholicism.
It does!
I would think it probably is one of the big ones, actually.
And
oops,
the only thing that Protestants hated more than witches were Catholics, so.
Oh yeah, pretty much any non-Catholic Christians fucking hate Catholics.
And don't even get me started on the Calvinists. Anyway,
that's why it's such a bummer trying to dig up funny sins, because I know there's more out there, but then it's just like, here are the Catholics, the whores of Babylon and Christ. And I'm like, yeah, chill out, other Christians, this is not what I'm looking for.
Like, we're literally the worst because we're too serious. There's too much guilt. We take everything too seriously. So, like, our sins aren't fun. They're funny, but then, like, you're an asshole for laughing because it's so serious. I don't know.
Man,
and everyone
blasphemy
else.
Blasphemy does not count as offending the Holy Spirit. Weird.
So, but. Because you're taking the Father's name in vain or the J-Man's name in vain, not the Spirit. The Spirit doesn't have a name.
Apparently, the sin for that is that you're refusing to accept salvation. I don't know, through the cross. So that's
I find Christianity such a fucking weird cult. I'm gonna say the whole business of accepting the Holy Spirit into you sounds really freaking dodgy, especially considering, you know. I've been listening to way too many horror podcasts.
So a mage abomination is okay, but willingly taking the Spirit of God into you. Okay. No,
I tried to get this going when GGC. I was like, I can explain to you guys which part of the Trinity Anders and Justice
are. Oh, God.
I think Kelly took me up on it. She pointed out.
She's another
Catholic, yeah.
She's another cultist. Yeah. I can't talk. I'm married a cultist. Oh. I can't talk.
So yeah, I got lectured for not taking Baby Bi to Ash Wednesday Mass, you know, and she's not stepped foot in
the church. Tell her that would have been a mortal sin for her anyways, because unless she's...
Well, I wasn't going to let her take communion. Come on now.
Yeah, but I'm saying, so if she did...
Well, I mean, like...
Is taking communion if you're not a Catholic a mortal sin?
It is a mortal sin. It's a sacrament. And it's a sin if you're Catholic and you haven't taken it recently, because then you're already in a state of mortal sin because you haven't gone
also,
to Mass recently.
If you haven't gone through like all the appropriate steps to be allowed to take communion.
Well, yeah, you have to go through all the appropriate sacraments, and then you have to have been going to Mass consistently, because if you missed Mass, then you're already in a state of mortal sin, so you have to go to confession and confess that
first.
Yeah, and then you can it again. But yes, this is why Claire was a crying, depressed mess and didn't realize she was depressed, because she never went to... she didn't go to Mass on Sundays and was like, well, I'm clearly sad because I've separated myself from God. And
I've never gone to confession. I kind of always wanted to.
It's kind of weird.
Like, I've kind of always just wanted to, like, experience it.
And I'm an awful person, so I was always like, I can say whatever I want because it won't be as bad as other people.
My grandpa didn't believe in it, so we never did it. And
It's funny because that makes him dangerously close to it.
That does make him dangerously Protestant.
That was not... I probably shouldn't have put that out there for everyone to hear. But we didn't do confession. I don't know if my grandma ever did. She kind of came around to the Catholic thing late. Like, she shunned it for a while. And then at some point, just before my adulthood, like, she grabbed onto it hard. And just, she was, like, the best Catholic to ever Catholic. But my grandfather would, like, pull me aside once in a while. He'd be like, hey, so I know this is, like, what's supposed to happen, but this is how we're going to do it. And so when I started going to Mass with him regularly, he's like, come on, you haven't been confirmed, but no one's going to ask you. We're just going to, this is what you say when you go get communion. So I've never been confirmed, but I have always taken communion.
Yeah, do you even get to call yourself a lapsed Catholic? Because you're not a full Catholic until you've been confirmed.
I'm not. I'm not even sure. It just... My family's Catholic, and I've just kind of, like, skated on that for a while.
I'm the whole deal. I've been through all of that shit.
I had a dark period where I went Protestant for a little bit in high school, because, like, Catholic churches didn't have youth groups, or if they did, we never knew about them, because that sounds like fun, because youth group is fun, and Catholics don't know how to have fun, so so I went to the church with the youth group, and it was Protestant, but I've never been confirmed, so... Do I have to change my tag? Can I not be a lapsed Catholic anymore? What am I, like, a haphazard Catholic? I don't know.
I think it could be a filthy heretic.
Yes.
We can at least you're not like me. Although apparently I'm allowed. Like, apparently I'm meant to exist. Atheists are meant to be around.
To be fair, you're actually for morality class, you would be considered more acceptable because you weren't born into the faith and you don't know the fullness of truth. Whereas, Oid should, and so so Brandon is the greater sinner because she knows the truth and rejected it.
Yeah, that's actually disappointing because I was telling Jade, oh man, what is that called? Like, there's the certain sins, and like apostasy is one of them. There's like that. When you come up against Lent, like, it's like one of the big ones you're supposed to really reflect on. And I was like, yeah, well, my Lenten period will be spent reflecting on my apostasy. I'm an apostate. But I don't even know if you can call me that now. Thanks, Claire. You had to take that away from me.
I'm sorry. It's one of the seals of joining the church. You don't even have the Holy Spirit. You can't even sin against him. That's when you get the Holy Spirit.
It's so weird. I love those posts on Tumblr that talk about, you know, no religion that promotes cannibalism and makes you go through stages, cult stages, cult initiation ceremonies can bloody call other religions weird. I mean, really.
To be fair, cannibalism would be eating the material of flesh. We're only eating the substance of the flesh. Allow me to get into some medieval philosophy here. It's transubstantiation, not transmutation.
Okay.
Oh my god, I meant to say that once. Like, I had read that somewhere. I meant to say it. Thank you. Thank you for bringing
well,
that up.
That's the fun shit I bring out when people are like, zombie Jesus. I'm like, well, a zombie's kind of just been resuscitated, whereas Jesus was resurrected, which is a whole rebirth and recreation. I like bringing out Catholic nerd on people because I don't honestly care that much, but it.
What are you writing?
I'm writing down our episode title, which is "It's Transubstantiation, Not
Yeah, we're not alchemists.
If we were alchemists,
yeah, if we were alchemists, we'd have even more gold.
I think that the Catholic Church has spent a long time turning crap into gold. Mainly everyone else's money.
Everyone else's money.
Yeah. Oh, it's not much of a chemical process.
Yeah.
We can probably wrap up with that.
Yeah. Now that you've all been enlightened.
Yeah. And we've established that Brandon is a heretic.
Yeah.
Woo!
Go do some heretical things.
Oh, there's no stopping me now.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah, see, I think I would count as an apostate. I don't know what you count as anymore. Yeah, maybe just a heretic.
I think you were obviously taught by a dangerous heretic in your grandfather.
The funny thing is, my grandfather teaches, or he used to when he was younger, taught like classes like catechism. And
yeah, which
like
ironically does make him. You can't be, I think you cannot be really guilty of heresy unless you're in a position of power where you're influencing other people's faiths. So yes, he would be a heretic. You were taught by a heretic.
And now you're spreading,
the heresy.
Claire, who's probably going to become corrupted and yeah.
Someday there will be the like Brandonite heresy. That...
I was just going to say like the obvious thing for me to do now is to splinter off and form my own religion.
No, you just become a Catholic heretical group, and then you get to like get your name in the books and also get excommunicated.
Oh my god, I want to be! I have always wanted to be excommunicated.
We'll get the Spanish Inquisition on you. That if you know what, yeah.
If you want to tell us about your own hereticity.
Heresy.
Thank you. Your heresy, or your apostasy, or maybe you're a good, Catholic, or a good, you know,
whatever, Tell us your sins.
Tell us your sins.
We're sin eaters.
Send those to bibibicast@gmail.com.
Also, please send those to bibibicast.tumblr.com because I would be all over that shit.
You could be anonymous. Yeah, it would be like
you could be anonymous. It could be. Imagine yourself.
The confession is open.
Imagine yourself.
Confession is open, guys.
Confession booth that most people don't actually use, but you can get to be, you can be Matt Murdock and be in a confession booth with me.
Claire needs to be ordained. Yes, and if you have anything else you want to talk to us about, then you can get in touch with us through our Tumblrs or through Twitter, which Brandon is really religious and good about checking and making sure he keeps things up on. I know.
I've actually been on top of it lately. It's actually open right now.
Oh, good.
If
you want to become a patron, then head to patreon.com/bye bye bye, and there's lots of levels there, and you get cool shit if you join. Anyway, it's been a pleasure, darlings. We'll see you. I'm not going to say the thing. God, really
keep on trucking.
Oh, Jesus. May the Holy Spirit be with you.
also
certainly
with
not
you.
With me.
And also with you. See you next week, guys. Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye.
Bye, bye, bye. Boys and girls, don't put it in your mouth.
Hey, what am I doing? I don't even like beets.
Then don't put it in your mouth. Bye, 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 everyone.